I'm turning now to God's Word. Let's turn in our Bibles to Job and chapter 41. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. We'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 34. Job 41, verses 1 through 34. And beginning in verse 1, these are God's inspired words. So let's give our full attention to them and respond with faith. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him with for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his nisings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go a smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp points. Pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Those are God's words. Again, the Lord continues speaking here of His greatness, the greatness of His power and majesty, and compared that to the weakness and impotency, or the lack of power of Job. And He does that here in this chapter by showing forth another large animal that He created that is in the sea here called Leviathan. Into verse 9, the Lord encourages Job, try to tame Leviathan. Try to become his master. And since Job can't do this, in verse 10, how utterly unable are you to stand before me, Job, before Jehovah? And then the Lord describes Leviathan to show how powerful and terrible as an animal creature he is. Through verse 14, his face and his teeth. Through verse 17, his scales, his great armor and protection. Through verse 21, his breath. And through verse 24, his flesh. And then through verse 30, his strength and determination, even when he's attacked. And then verse 32, it's like a large ship going through the sea. You can see the path that he has made after he's swam through in his wake. And it causes turbulence. And then through verse 34, there is not a creature on earth like him, as great and terrible and with so much power. And so the point here then is, if the Lord made Leviathan, then how great and powerful and awesome is our God, that we can't even really touch or move or sway Leviathan. Well, then how great and powerful and awesome is our God who created him? And so we ought to, in this part, be humbled, of course, as we have been instructed in the last few chapters, as God is addressing Job. But we ought to also stand in awe of our great God, who is infinite and eternal in power and strength and majesty, remembering who it is that is our God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come in the name of Christ, exalting you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is infinite and eternal and certainly unchangeable in your power and in your strength. We see not only your power and strength at creation and sustaining the entirety of the universe or universes, all of creation, you sustain even by a word from you. Father, we think of how in the end Christ will strike down all his enemies in his coming to the earth with a word, the sword of that spirit of you. And Father, we think back to creation, to create light, which we cannot fathom doing ourselves. To you, it was nothing of any energy or greatness. It took really nothing from you to do so, to create light. And yet all you did, which is marvelous and great and incomprehensible to us, you said, "Let there be light." And there was light, without even the sun or the stars or the moon to reflect the sun. You created light when there was no light makers. Just again to show, at least to show, your power. And then you created the suns later. The sun and then the other stars. The sun here to not only light, give us light, but also to cause us to survive. For it is that great heat source and energy source that you have provided for all living creatures, plants and animals. And how if we were to study more of just the sun and energy, we would we would not come to an end of knowledge about such things. And so, Father, we're thankful for your power. Even creating the dinosaurs, the great creatures of the seas, and how we cannot tame them. We cannot make them our servants. Father, we do pray that you would humble our hearts before you and cause us to see with great awe your absolute perfect power and strength, described also often in Scripture like dynamite, and yet so much more. Father, today we ask that you would give us a grasp of your greatness, your holiness, your power, that we would respond with praise to your name and humble reliance upon you in every step we take. There are surely many here who are struggling in their hearts spiritually and physically. And we ask that you would cause them to see and know, cause all of us to know that Christ sits on the throne and he reigns and rules and he is all powerful and he is all strong to deliver us from our troubles and heal our infirmities and strengthen us even against the great temptations of the evil one and his servants. Father, we're thankful for our Savior in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the good news that we have by his life and death and resurrection. I pray that you would grant us salvation in him, that you would grant and give the gift of faith and repentance, that we would turn from our sins unto Christ and hold on to him, flee to him as the God and King, the Savior and King, who is ready to save us, deliver us, and receive us with unending love. And so, Father, as we consider your power and your strength, comfort us not to look to ourselves in which we'll find weakness and frailty and our falling and, Father, rather we ask that we would, in our hearts, be turned to you. Father, if we are fretting, anxious, if we are struggling in a multitude of sins in which we cannot conceive how you would ever receive us for Christ's sake, and comfort us and strengthen us by your Spirit, who is the great Comforter and our great Counselor. Guide us according to your Word and by your Spirit. And Father, we do praise you that Jeannie is back with us, and thankful that you have made my wife Dina better, and ask that you would heal her voice, in which she can't really speak well. We pray for the gardeners, that you would turn them back from their sins to you and their rebellion to that Antichrist and his servants and the blasphemies of the mass attempting to sacrifice Christ over and over when we know the true gospel is that Jesus Christ was once for all sacrificed on the cross at Calvary. And so, Father, we ask that You would turn them from their wickedness and their sin and their rebellion to You, and that they would turn to Christ in faith. We don't pray that they would turn back to their elders or us, but that they would turn to You. And we ask that You would grant them conviction of their sin, and that those church censures that have been placed upon them, that they would bear a weight upon them and bring them shame for their actions, and that shame would lead them to the all-gracious and merciful God in Christ by Your word. Father, we pray that You would protect us from them as they have been deceptive and deceiving many, or trying to keep us from harm and any sway of the devil. Father, we do praise You. We're thankful for how we have seen in the last couple weeks a greater provision as a congregation. And Father, we don't desire that would be just for a short time, but long lasting, that You would continue to provide for us, and that You would guide us as well in our next steps as a congregation, and decisions that need to be made, and wisdom on where to go. We give You praise that You've answered a prayer about getting out of our lease, and we know it's not exactly what everything we wanted, but we give You praise that of the mercy from our landlord that You have shown through him to us. I pray that You would provide for us all that we need to continue worshiping You and honoring Your name as a congregation, and that You would not snuff out our lampstand. Our Father, we ask that You would bless that You would bless our preparation and preparing for the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day morning. We ask that You would turn us from our sins this week, that we would have those sins revealed and we would hate them and turn from them and begin anew a life lived for You in service to You and in righteousness and practicing righteousness in Christ Your Son by Your Holy Spirit, by which alone we can do it, or we are frail and of ourselves. And so put those sins to death and strengthen us in faith through the sacrament that You've given to Your church, Your bride, to grow us and remind us of Your sacrifice and that cursed reception of the guilt of our sin there and the condemnation of it there on the cross. Father, help us to then praise You, grow in faith and grace and holiness to You, being humbled before our great King and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that You would protect us from evil and temptation, that You would bless the day of prayer and fasting, that our focus would be upon You and Your Word, and that we would see how frail we really are and how sinful we really are, and then see how great our Provider and Protector and our God and Savior is. And all of it, Father, we do not seek to our own glory. We seek Your glory and Your praise. And so may the end of all that we do this week and in the worship now be unto Your glory. We ask that You would hear our prayers because we pray for the sake of Christ and His glory, and receive His perfected prayers of ours We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.